a young man many, many wonderful years ago. When I was a little guy, I remember that my dad and my mom wanted to send me for a week to spend time with my auntie, who lived in a little town called Arecibo, Puerto Rico. Arecibo. Anybody say that? Arecibo. Now, pray for Arecibo, pray for the island of Puerto Rico. Some of you know, have probably seen through pictures on Facebook that there is crazy devastation there. By God's grace and mercy, a lot of my family members are okay. They're physically okay. They've just lost a lot of things. Some of you know Pastor Joanne's mom and family. I've checked in with them, and they're doing okay. In their house, they literally had water coming in, and they were trying to get the water out as fast as possible as it was coming in all the whole night that the hurricane was hitting. But she is okay, and their family's okay as well. And I know some of you have connections and family in the island, and so we're praying that God would bring relief, and continue to pray for those families. Thank you. If you don't have the fill-in notes, which we're going to pass out here in a second, if you don't have them, just raise your hands, and our ushers will come around and give that to you. We're going to dive into that in a moment. So if you don't have the fill-in notes for the message, just raise your hand. We have one over here. Anyone else that is needed? But in the little town of, anybody remember what the town was that I just met? Arecibo. Thank you, Julia. Look at that. Wow. So they would send me there, and I thought I was going to have a great time. And it was an interesting thing. I was a little guy. But there were two aunties of mine that lived in this house. And you probably know this. There are some nice aunties, and then there are some disciplined aunties. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. My nice auntie, Auntie Julin, who, by God's grace, she actually lived a long time. She lived to be 101 years old, which is an amazing thing. But then my other auntie was a disciplinarian in the house. And so I went to stay over there, and I thought I was going to have a blast. I thought, man, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have food cooked for me. Life is going to be great. But I was surprised when the first morning that I was there, my serious auntie said, "All right, rise and shine. It is time to work. It is time to do chores." And I was like, "What? No way. Wait, my parents tricked me." And so she had me doing chores all over the house that entire week. On Monday, we woke up and did it. And then on Tuesday, every day. And there was a little part of me, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm like a prisoner. And I can't escape." I didn't have cell phones. There wasn't texting back then. Again, it was a little while ago. And so I wish I could just call my parents and say, "Set me free. Come and get me, please." Now, thankfully, that wasn't the entire week was not like that. And of course, you know how us, when we're young persons, we can exaggerate. You know what I'm talking about? Exaggerate things. You know, sometimes my kids will exaggerate a little bit. You know, if Sarah, something happened with Sarah, you know, there'll be times where I think to myself, "Sarah, you know, you got to be careful how you speak, because people will think that I'm like this evil dad. Because something will happen and it will trip and she'll be like, 'Daddy, you hit me! You pushed me!'" I'm like, "What? No!" So as kids, we can exaggerate. But I felt in Arecibo, my auntie was being really hard on me, and I was like, having to do all these things. I was convinced that she just dreamed up jobs for me to do. I'm like, "Auntie, no one can see that dirt in those leaves." She's like, "We're going to clean them." The good news is that after the morning, then she gave me a break in the afternoons. I didn't know what was going to happen, but the first day I was surprised. I said, "Okay, now you have some free time. Now you can do this." And in the evenings, it was like a vacation. They let me do whatever I wanted to do. I remember in Puerto Rico, our summer months are June and July. We're off of school June and July. That's different from here, of course, but over there it's June and July. And so this was a week in June. And in the evenings, they and my aunties had cable television. And at the time, I know this sounds crazy, but at the time I was like, "Wow, I can watch NBA basketball all night long, all night," right? It was great. I was like, and they loved me, they brought me food, they brought me that. So I knew at some point I had to get up the next day and do some work, right? But it was a cool deal because in the afternoon I would get food, I would get free time, and I could watch basketball all night long, right? So this is a good deal. What we're talking about today is Freedom Sunday. We're going to be talking about some kids who have been put in situations where they're not family members, but other people are making them work in the mornings. But then at lunchtime, they're making them work some more. And then in the evenings, they're making them work some more. And they're working tirelessly throughout the days because they are in a slavery situation. We're going to talk about modern day slavery today. It's not a fun topic to talk about, but we're dedicating this Sunday, and we're calling it Freedom Sunday. We're joining with churches all over the world and all over the United States to talk about the issue of modern day slavery. Oftentimes we think, man, there are bad things going on in the world, and there are several approaches to that. One approach is, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it, I just want to pretend like everything's fine, and I'm going to just be in my house, and everything's going to be fine. Or we can open up our eyes and ears to see the pain of the things that are happening around the world. Amen? As a church, Brother Augustine said, talk about our vision. It's building champions through a gospel revolution that brings transformation. Everyone say transformation. To our family, our community, our city, and our world. And so today, what we're going to talk about is something that can bring and make a difference to our world. Amen? And so I would encourage you to join with me. If you have your Bibles, and you can open up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. We're going to be studying the book of Luke together. Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to get there in one moment. But we'll build little by little from there. Daniel, if you can open up the PowerPoint, that would be awesome. For the Freedom Sunday, that would be great if you're able to get that up. But the Ecclesiastes, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, and this will be in your notes as well, that says, it says this, again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. This is the first verse on there, Daniel. If you can move to that, please. They have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. They have no comforter. It is estimated that there's about 45 million. Everyone say 45 million. 45 million modern-day slaves right now in our world today. Martin Luther King Jr. says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Amen? And so we must care about what is happening in our world. Jesus is our champion. Amen? We want to build champions through the gospel. The gospel means good news. Specifically, it means the good news of who? Of Jesus. It's the good news of Jesus. And Jesus is the example of who our champion is. He is our champion. Now, we're going to be talking about some scriptures that address his purpose and the reason why he came to this world. Freedom is, and you see this in your notes here, is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. It's the ability for you to think what you want to think without somebody restraining you. Another definition is the absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. So that we're not, that we're freedom from oppression. And the final one is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. That's what freedom is. It's when we're not imprisoned, not enslaved. There is physical slavery in this world, and there is spiritual slavery. We're going to talk about both. Some people are free to do whatever they want in the natural, but in their spirits and in their emotions, and when they close the doors to their rooms, they are slaves of their addiction, or they are slaves to their depression. They are slaves to what other people are inflicting upon them. There is physical, actual slavery, which we're going to address today, but there's also spiritual slavery, and it's important for us to notice the two different kinds of slavery. We're going to look at a video right now, and it's the story of a young man named Kumar. And this young man has an incredible story, and we're going to look at the first part of the story now, and then we'll continue on a little bit later. Go ahead and play that, and let us, if you can get thank you. Thank you.
14, 18 hour days with very little sleep, no freedom, dignity is taken away from them. And that's something nobody should have to endure. We had a number of years ago, two of them on the way, was escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, sir, there is a bonded labor case. And almost always the response was, there is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?
There's a girl who's very afraid. Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery. Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out.
Amen. We will come back to that story. It's hard to see that, isn't it? It was hard for me to as I was preparing and exposing myself to some of the material. It's heartbreaking. And I want to see where the Lord will lead us as a church. God wants us to make a difference for kids like that. Amen? God wants us to make a difference for people like that. If the church of Jesus Christ cannot make a difference for a kid like that, then we have no purpose existing. Amen? I believe that not only in foreign lands, but in our own backyards, God's called us to make a difference. That's why we're here, folks. And we can't do it by ourselves, because there's evil in this world. Evil people who would do some of these horrific things. Again, this was not 100 years ago. This is now. Everyone say now. This is happening now. So God help us as we approach the scriptures, because you and I can talk and discuss a lot of different things, and we're going to talk about some things very practical that we can do as a church to make a difference in these types of kids' lives. But there's something about our words are different than God's words, amen? And when God speaks, there is life. God spoke and the world came into existence. God's words are powerful, and I want to look at some of God's words today. And the book of Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 14 through 15, Jesus is our champion. Everyone just say it out loud. Jesus is our champion.
Jesus is our champion.
Say it nice and loud like you believe it. Jesus is our champion.
Jesus.
Amen. That is, he is our champion. When I die, I expect to see Jesus. I don't know who you expect to see, but I'm expecting to see Jesus when I die. He is the one that ushers him into the presence of the Father. Amen. So he is our champion, and we can look back at history and see that he healed and he touched people's lives, and eventually he died on the cross for us. He is our champion. He is the description, the perfect picture of the champion that I want to be. And the Bible says that Jesus went into a desert and fasted for 40 days, and at the end of that fast, for those of you who don't know, fasting means not eating. I can go a few days without eating. I don't know about 40 days. Amen? We talk about like the new weight loss system kind of deal, right? 40 days of fasting will do that to you. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And at the end of those days, the Satan came and tempted him. And he won against the temptations of Satan. Amen? Amen. One of the reasons why Jesus is our champion, because he was not overcome by evil, but he overcame evil with good. And right after that happened, that incident of fasting and having that battle, spiritual battle with the devil, right after that is where we pick up the story, okay? Are you with me? So it's right after Jesus has overcome the temptation of the devil, and then we come to these passages. Again, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And so he was something special about this man. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the what? In the power of the Spirit. The first feeling there is the power of the Spirit. We have to realize that the power of the Spirit of God. As we are faced with some of these evil things happening in the world, we have to remember that wherever Jesus went, he went in the power of the Spirit. Just a little quick note, if Jesus fasted and prayed to God so that he could be full of the Spirit of God and he could have the power of the Spirit, then maybe you and I need to do that too. We might not be able to do 40 days, but we can set some time aside in your life and mine. Almost every time somebody comes and sits down with me to talk to me about problems that they're having, to talk to me about what's going on in their life, to talk to me about crisis that they're going on, my first question to them is, how is it with your soul? How is your connection to God? Because if you're not connected to the creator of the universe, there's a power source missing. The first villain is the power of the Spirit. Everyone say Spirit.
Spirit.
Amen? And then it says, he, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, this is Jesus, he found the place where it is written, and we're going to go into that in a second. But I want you to notice something, and this is, I think some might say, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with Freedom Sunday. How is this going to help someone? But I want you just to see something, because oftentimes, have you ever heard this? You know what? I like Jesus. I just don't like the what? I just don't like the church. You know, Jesus and I are cool, but I don't want to gather with people. I love Jesus, I just can't stand people. Right? Does that work? And so I've heard that before. You've heard it too. You know, I'm with Jesus, but I don't want to go to church. I don't want to gather with people. And here's all I will say about this. I want you to notice it's a peculiar little line. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. That is their church. That was Jewish church, was called the synagogue, as was his what? As was his what? His custom. As was his custom. Wait a second. As was his custom. I thought Jesus walked around and healed the lame. He did that. I thought Jesus walked around and found some blind people and healed them. I thought Jesus walked around and wherever he was, it was church. Oh, wherever I go, that's where church is. I used to have a joke in college. I went to a Christian college, and believe it or not, this is going to sound insane to you, but in that college that I went to, every student was required to go to church, and we forced them to. And we had something called church check. I know you're looking at that. Pastor, what kind of school did you go to, okay? Talk to me later, I'll talk to you about that, okay? But literally, on Sunday mornings, as a resident advisor, I talked a little bit about that last week, I would have to go into everyone's room to make sure that at 11 a.m., no one was in their rooms. Because everyone was supposed to be at church. Now, you say, well, that's cruel. FYI, it was a Christian college, and the kids knew that before coming in, okay? So people signed up for it, but it was a Christian college, and they knew that. And oftentimes, I would just go into the room, and I would just hear something coming from the closet. And I just be like, wait. Dude, what are you doing in there? Nice haircut, by the way. There's really no one. No, there's no one. They would hide from the RAs because they didn't want to get cut. They were trying to hide from having to go to church. Now, FYI, I don't think that's necessarily the best practice, okay? I don't think that's necessarily the best way. I think people should go to church because they want to. I just want you to hear that people say, I love Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus went to church every week. Did you know that? Jesus showed up. Sometimes he would teach. Sometimes he was part of the synagogue. There's a lot of those times that we haven't heard about. But I just want you to know that Jesus was a church-going person. He gathered with people. Listen, there is no true faith practice. There is no true believing if we don't apply that to people. Jesus, I want to love you with all my heart. I just can't stand my kids. Jesus, I want to do anything you want me to, but I just don't want to be around people. It doesn't work like that. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The second fill-in is the power of consistency. Consistency. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. Successful people in life, in any area of life, successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently. If I can get up every day and spend time with God, if I can read my scriptures every day, if every day I can make an investment in my wife, if every day I can make an investment in my kids, and little by little, that has a lifetime of implications that will give results in the end. But God, help us to be consistent. Jesus was consistent. Amen? He went to the synagogue as was his custom. I love Jesus. I just can't stand the church. Well, Jesus loved the church, so he's the founder of it. He's the head of it. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to like everyone in the church. Okay? I'm the pastor. I like most of you. By faith. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. You know, I'm a softie. I love all of you. But listen, it doesn't mean that we have to like everyone, but it does mean that we have to consistently. If you're telling me that you're going through a crisis and you're telling me that you need a miracle, then what you need is a connection with the living God. Are you with me? You need God, and God is found in his scriptures. He's found in seeking his presence, but he is found in his church. That's his idea, not mine. Because his word is spoken in church. We can lock arms with people in the church and walk together somewhere. So oftentimes I will say, how's your connection with God? And why don't you try coming to church? And what I say is this, give us a year. If you've never been to church, give us a year of your life. It's worth for you to invest 1 year in coming to church consistently. Everybody say consistently. And see what God does in your heart. And I guarantee that he will transform your life if you're open to him. He will transform if you consistently come, if you consistently are open to him. Then Jesus said these words, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus knew, the first one is the power of purpose. Jesus knew what his purpose was. His purpose, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? Because he has anointed me. Anointing means if Gilo is the next king of the United States of America, there's no kings here yet, praise God. Right? But he's going to be the king of the United States, and we're going to bless him and pray for him. One of the things, we would take oil and we would pour it over and we would anoint him as the next king. Are you with me? It was part of it was something that would come upon the next king. King David was anointed. Oil was put on him, and that was a declaration that he was set apart. So Jesus here is saying, I am anointed for something. I've been set apart for something. What has Jesus been set apart? So that he can be our homeboy. Oh, I like Jesus. He can be our excuse not to go to church and have to deal with people. What was Jesus anointed for? Listen, God has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. Good news, the gospel, to the poor. Jesus cares about the poor. I don't have time to talk about much of that right now, but just know that in your heart, that's the truth. He has sent me to proclaim what? Freedom. Or say freedom.
Freedom.
He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The first one is the power of purpose. The second one is the power of freedom. The power of freedom. Jesus came into this world to bring freedom. Everyone say freedom.
Freedom.
Jesus came to bring freedom into this world, to set people free, spiritually and physically. We're going to look at the second part of Kumar's video. Daniel, if you can get that set up here. And again, we are talking about Freedom Sunday today, the things that God can and wants to do in and through the church and is doing through wonderful organizations, which we're going to hear about in a second. Daniel, as soon as you have it, just go ahead and play it. The power of purpose and the power of freedom. Here's the second part of that.
IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct the rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused, there is modern labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he'd say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then, they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker, to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
Amen. It's a blessing to hear good news, amen? That there are kids being set free. This particular organization, International Justice Mission, is an organization, as Sister Julia said, we saw the leader of it in a conference that we went to this past year. We always think, what can we do? What can we do? I don't know what to do. We can pray. Well, today is about what we can do. And just to continue to encourage us, and they talk about the 45 million people that are enslaved. There's a couple of interesting statistics. One in four slaves is a child. Is a child. When it comes to human trafficking generates about $150 billion a year, two-thirds from commercial sexual exploitation. A child goes missing in India every 8 minutes. Can you imagine that? Every 8 minutes. And nearly half are never found. Jesus comes into the picture and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal blind eyes, to set the oppressed free, to let the captives go. That's what Jesus came to do. And the perfect picture of that is the cross of Jesus. It's the cross of Jesus. The next fill-in in our notes, we talked about the power of purpose, and Jesus was clear about his purpose. The power of freedom, only in the power of the Spirit can we do that, the power of freedom. And the last two is, I want to talk about the power of the church and the power of the cross. The power of the church and the power of the cross. Jesus invites us to join him in this mission of helping men and women be free, both physically from bonded labor in India and spiritually as well. God has called us to be free. Jesus declared that his Spirit was on him to proclaim freedom to the captives. He was anointed to do that. He was set apart to do that. And as his church, then we join Jesus in the work of helping blind eyes to see, amen? And helping set people free that are in bondage. In our community, in our city, and also in our world. And just like this young boy, Kumar, International Justice Mission is an organization that is helping kids all over the world be set free from slavery. Here's what I believe. I believe that we as a body of Christ are gifted and have strengths in different places, in different areas. There's a gifting that you have that this church needs, and we will never have that gift unless you get involved and start serving. And I also believe that different churches have different strengths, different things that God's called them to do, and there are organizations in the world that God, through his Spirit, has anointed to help people be set free from bondage. Just so you know that this International Justice Mission, their first hour of every day for work, they pay their workers every day for 1 hour just to pray and seek God. Because they know that they have to deal with slave masters and people who are horrible people doing horrific things. So they know that they need God's courage. And for us to make a difference in our community, in our city, we need courage. Amen? You and I need courage. The power of the church and the power of the cross is that when we look at Jesus, the most powerful, perfect picture of a champion that we've ever had, he was holy, he never did anything wrong, he was strong, yet he was taken to a cross, he suffered. And out of that suffering comes life. The gospel is the good news because I have put my trust in Jesus because he went to the cross for me. He paid for all of my sins. All my sin. And I'm reminded that every day that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Isn't that good news? Amen? That he has washed us white as snow. That is the power of the cross. But Jesus, before he left, established his church to make a difference on this planet, so that we would reach out and touch the lives of men and women and kids all over the city and all over the world. That's what God is calling us to do. Jesus declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." We're going to watch one final video if we can set that up, and then we're just going to talk about a couple minutes about some practical things we can do to make a difference, and then we will pray. This is the story of a young lady. We'll go ahead and play it.
যখন ছোট ছিলাম তখন আমার ভয় ভয় কিছু ছিল না। আমি যখন ছোট ছিলাম তখন গাছে উঠতাম, মাছ উঠতাম, তো তখন এইসব জিনিসে আমার কোনো ভয় থাকতো না, মানে তখন কোনো ভয় লাগতো না যে কে বকবে, কে মারবে। হয়েছিল সেটা থেকে আমি খুব ভয় পেয়ে গেছিলাম। আমার জীবনে কিছু হবে না, আমার জীবনে কোনো দাম নেই, আমি তার মূল্য নিয়ে হয়ে গেছি। তখন
Atrocities to happen. Is that a real question? Right? And it's heartbreaking. When I first saw it, I had my cries. I said, Lord, let me get all my tears out now before I step up to talk about this. It is a heartbreaking situation. And again, this is real, and this is what's happening in modern day. This is happening now. And we thank God for the International Justice Mission and their work. But how can God allow these things to happen? What is God doing about the injustice and the evil in the world? And in talking about the power of the cross, it is important for us as followers of Jesus to remember that what God did to address the issues of evil and wickedness in the world is to send his only son to die on the cross for all of the sin of humanity, all of the wickedness, so that then those who will partner with him in that journey of setting people free and opening up blind eyes and bringing righteousness and goodness into the world, we have the power of the cross of Jesus Christ behind us. Amen? We are not alone on that journey. And the power of the church to make a difference in this world, to make a difference in this planet. The cross of Jesus Christ is what I need in my heart so that I would have the courage to address the evils that are happening in society. So what can we do about it? How can we help? There's a couple of things I want to talk about today. You can write some of these things down if you'd like. One of them, I'm just going to give you a website address just so that you know. It's ijm.org. ijm.org. And Daniel, there might be one of the PowerPoint slides might actually have it. So if you can look for that, that'd be great. ijm.org/FP. That's F as in Frank, P as in Peter. And that will give you an opportunity, if God is touching your heart, to do something about this and partner with people who are making a difference in modern day slavery, this would be a great place to do it. And they have opportunities for people to partner with them. And again, today, hundreds, if not thousands of churches across this nation are doing Freedom Sunday and are partnering. And so today can be a catalyst day to make a huge difference in the lives of many, many people that are suffering in slavery. Another thing is that Sister Debbie mentioned that we here at Heart and Soul have partnered with International Child Care Ministries to sponsor a child. Oftentimes, one of the ways that people can help kids stay away from slavery and stay away from bonded labor, stay away from trafficking, is if people sponsor them. When kids are sponsored, they get an education, they are able to have safe community with people, and they are mentored. That's another way that you can help. So ijm.org/FP. Another way would be to talk to us about either sponsoring another child or helping us as a church sponsor more children. Another option, I have this book in my hands, and today I would be willing to give it to anyone who is interested. But this is a book written by the leader of a movement similar to that called Set Free Movement. And it's basically a curriculum, and it's a small group curriculum where people that are like-minded, who care about the issue of freedom and slavery in our world, can go through this together and discuss ways that they as a group and then we as a church can make a difference in the lives of people going through that. So if you're interested, earlier today we talked about how next week we're going to be doing a small group leaders training or for facilitators training. This would be a great time to jump in if you're interested. And I will give this to you if you're interested. You say, you know what, Pastor? That touched me. I want to do something about it. I might be interested in maybe gathering 2, 3, 4, 5 different people together and discussing how we can make a difference in the lives of the people. So IJM.org/FP. Talk to us about International Child Care Ministries, how we can sponsor a child and keep them from ever having to endure that. And maybe starting a small group here in the next coming weeks that addresses those issues. The power of the Spirit, the power of consistency, the power of purpose, freedom. The church is a powerful force for good. These people are working with churches in all those countries. And so they're partners with us in this. And then, of course, the power of the cross. And again, when we think to ourselves, how can a loving God allow these things to happen? Know that the Father God sent his own Son to bleed real blood so that there can be freedom, so that you and me as a church, the answer to the problems in your life and the problems with the people around you is definitely God, but God wants to use you to make a difference. Amen? God wants to use you to love on that person who no one else is reaching out to. God wants to use you to make a difference in your family and start bringing forgiveness instead of hatred and discord. God wants to use you. We are the answer. God wants to use us to make a difference in lives. Even if we affect one life today out of this talk, if we can affect one life, one little girl can be set free. One young man can be set free. I think it would be worth it. Amen? Let's stand and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for opening up our eyes to the things that are happening in this world. Our hearts are broken to see stories like this young woman and this young man. They've had to experience so much pain and so much suffering. But we thank you, Jesus, that you came. The Spirit of the Lord came upon you and anointed you to proclaim freedom. If you're here today and you know that in your heart, in your emotions, you are imprisoned by your addictions, you're imprisoned spiritually, you feel trapped, you feel like a cloud is over you. Every eye closed and head bowed right now. This is between us and the Lord. If you're here and you need God's touch to set you free in your heart and your mind, just lift up your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. This is between you and the Lord. This is Jesus. The living God is watching our hearts. I see that hand. I see those hands. God bless you. All over this place. I see those hands lifted up. Just raise them high. Say, Lord, I need you. Just cry out to him in your heart. Say, Jesus, set me free. Set me free from bondage. Set me free from addiction. Set me free from my coldness towards you, God. I want to come back to you. Jesus, I pray for every person that's lifting up their hand right now, that they're saying, I want you, Lord. I want to be free so that I can bring freedom to others. I want to be free in Christ so I can bring freedom to other people. Share with them the light and the love of Jesus. So right now, God, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch every heart and every mind in this place, especially those who are lifting up their hands that are crying out to you, God. I pray freedom from addictions. No longer will that addiction have a hold of your life in the name of Jesus. That whatever it takes, no matter what you have to do, you will seek God, you will seek help, and you will become free from that addiction. Drugs, alcohol, addiction to codependent relationships, addiction to scenarios, addiction to different things. In Jesus' name, we declare those broken this morning in the name of Jesus. Oh, we trust you, the one who sets the captives free today. Hallelujah. Some people are in under the cloud of depression, or their anger always gets the best of them, and they do things that they wish they hadn't done. I pray freedom right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You may put your hands down. Father, I thank you for loving us just the way we are. And right now I pray that as a church, you would allow us to make a difference in the lives of young men like Kumar and young women like Shadna, Lord, that you would have mercy. Help us, God. Raise us up. Bring resources to us and to others. We bless IJM and the work that they're doing across the world, God, to bring freedom to people who are in such need. And right now, every eye closed and head bowed, if you're here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you have never said yes to Him, you have heard the story, but something today is telling you, you need to come close to God. You need to say yes to Jesus all the way. Every eye closed and head bowed, between you and the Lord today, just lift up your hand, raise your hand, say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to begin a relationship with Jesus today. I want to walk with Him. I want His life, His freedom to explode in my heart so that then I can be part of bringing freedom to others. Hallelujah, Jesus. I see that hand in the back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He longs for a relationship with you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Jesus, you see these who are lifting up their hands, and right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make a covenant with them, that you would touch their hearts. They would know what you have done for them on the cross, that they can be free, that they can say yes to you. In Jesus' name, you may put your hands down. Father, I thank you.